Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And there are so many versions. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am continuing to be excited about what we are going to be studying. We are still in the book of Genesis. Now, this study provides a patriarchal look at the women and men involved in the telling of God's exploits from the beginning of religious time as we know it. Today, religion has identified at least three major periods of time, or eras, the patriarchal, the Mosaic, and the Christian eras. Now, I want to remind you that all the lessons and instructions are taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And I highly suggest, so that boredom does not come into play, meaning that you are not just listening and or you are not just listening and not taking part, have your Bibles open and your pencils and pens ready for taking notes, please. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will be having a break for questions and answers. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you have given me, I am using. So thank you again. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, whoever hears my sayings and does them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. But he that does not, I liken him to a foolish man that built his house upon sand. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 26. And I hope you're writing these down. Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you, that your joy may remain in me, that your joy might be full. John chapter 15, verse 11. Again, the question to you is, my precious brothers and sisters, are you standing on God's promises? Now, let's go to the study. We're going to be looking at instruction 40, and it's going to be taken from this text in the Bible, Genesis chapter 34, verse 1 and 2. And verse 13 through 18, verse 25 through 7, 27, and verse 30. The reason that it is so lengthy is because we're going to be looking at this particular instruction as we glean the text. Jacob's troubles. And we know, if you will, Jacob is still having troubles in the nation of Israel. But this is the beginning of Jacob's troubles. We're going to be reading again Genesis chapter 34, verse 1 and 2. And this is what it says. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and laid with her and defiled her. Now we're going to go to verse 13 through 18, and this is the beginning of Jacob's troubles, and this is a result of what happened. Verse 13 says, and the son of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister, and they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, that for that were a reproach unto us. But in this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we are, every man of you be circumcised. Then we will give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Verse 17, but if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's father. Now we'll go to verse 25 through 27 for more of an understanding of what happened. It says, the sons of Jacob came upon, it says in verse 25, and it came to pass the third day, when they were sore, the two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain, the rest of his sons, and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. Now, verse 30 concludes and tells us how Jacob felt about this situation. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. So this tells us that this is what was troubling to Jacob because of what his sons had done. Now what we're going to do is go to the complement, the New Testament, and we're going to compare and see if this agrees with what the New Testament gives us in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 12 through 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 12 through 13. And I hope you're following me. Open up your Bibles, please, to Matthew, chapter 21, verse 12 through 13. And this is what the comparison, the complement says about what we just read. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So we can see that the troubles that began with those who were following Jesus started when he overturned these tables in the temple. Now, what we want to do now is look at what this instructions mean spiritually in our lives. And this is what it's saying to us, my precious brothers and sisters. We got to be careful about worldliness, doing in the name of the Lord destructive things. For example, hurting and beating up people that call themselves gays and homosexuals, and like killing abortion doctors, as it has happened recently, and even fighting over other Christians like they did with the Crusades. So this is the meaning for us to to receive from this instruction. If you have any comments, go to the chat room or go and put them on the email and get them to me so I can hear what you're saying about these. Now we're going to go to the instruction number 41. And before we go into it, we are going to wait on a break. But just to let you know, we're going to be reading from text Genesis chapter 25, verse 12, verse 10 through 12.
Power through prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is not sending God to run on your errands. A Christian can see more on his knees than he can from his feet. You can see more clearly on your knees than you can in the Tower of America's on your feet. Prayer is not getting God prepared to do your will. Prayer is getting you prepared to do God's will. Prayer is the only way to release the supernatural power of God in your life, in your marriage, in your business, to show you great and mighty things that you know not. Prayer is the key that unlocks the gates of heaven and closes the gates of hell. Prayer has the power to cure sickness and disease. Prayer can shatter the shackles of misery and habit that are tormenting your life or the life of your son or daughter or the life of your husband or wife. Prayer does not need proof. Prayer needs practice. Prayer is the weapon that God has given his children to wage war in the heavenlies. Church of Jesus Christ, stop whining about the attacks on your life by the prince of darkness and put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. Attack and then attack again and then attack again and crush him and drive him out of your life because Satan is a defeated foe. Christ has given you the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You are a child of God and the royal blood of heaven is flowing in your veins. You are destined to be more than a conqueror through Christ. Think like it, act like it, and talk like it every day of your life. If your marriage is under attack, pray. If your children are being tormented by the prince of darkness, pray. If your business is failing, pray. If you're fighting a deadly disease, pray. If you're lost and without God, pray. If your life is empty, if it's meaningless, if it seems to be hopeless, pray. Pray, pray, because God answers prayer. Elijah prayed, and forked tongues of fire laced across the heavens and consumed the sacrifice soaked with 12 barrels of water. Hezekiah prayed, and I'm talking about Old Testament prayer right now. Hezekiah prayed, and 185,000 Assyrians that surrounded Jerusalem, promising to slaughter every Jew in the sacred city the next morning. Hezekiah rolled out the letter that General Sennacherib had sent to him, mocking his God and mocking the people of Israel. He pulled out his secret weapon, prayer. He laid that letter before the Lord and said, God, your honor is at stake. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Your word says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. And that night, the death angel from heaven came and swept through the camp of the Assyrians. He smote the sentry standing at his post. He smote the infantry slumbering in their tents. He smote the generals as they made their battle plans to destroy the sacred city. The next morning when Hezekiah looked over the sacred walls of the city of Jerusalem by the dawn's early light, he saw 185,000 dead men because the angel of God passed by that night. Why? Because one man knew how to pray. He stopped an army and turned the destiny of a nation around, and you can too. Why pray? People ask the question, why pray? The first answer is prayerlessness is sin. 1 Samuel 12 and 23 says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. A prayerless Christian is a weak Christian. A prayerless Christian is a miserable Christian. A prayerless Christian is a Christian who always lives in defeat. A prayerless church is a weak church. A prayerless nation is a defeated nation. A prayerless family will be a divided family. It has been said and bears saying again, the family that prays together stays together. And that means you're in the minority in America. Husband, do you pray for your wife? Do you pray with your children? Why? Because according to 1 Samuel 12 and 23, you have sinned against the Lord if you don't. Now, there's a revolutionary thought for some of you. You think that going to church, carrying a King James Bible and singing, "How great thou art," is really all God wants you to do on Sunday. God expects you every day of the week to pray for the people in your house. Somebody prayed for you. Who are you praying for?
Amen. Welcome back to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah B.
Okay, we identified the instruction as number 41. We told you that the text is Genesis chapter 35. Verse 10 through 12 is what we're going to be drawing from, and this is the instruction we want to focus on, the legacy, the third legacy given to Jacob. Okay, and this is what the text says, 35, chapter 10, verse through 12. It says, "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him," and this is the legacy, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." So that is the third legacy that Jacob received from God. Now we're going to go to our complement. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 17, turn there with me, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and this is the legacy that we as Christians have received from God. "And a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And to expand upon that, quickly turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, and this is what, again, God said to us through those who participated in this experience at the Mount Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5 says, "While he yet spake, behold, a cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So that is the comparison of the legacy. We see what Jacob received for Israel, and we see what we've received from God through Jesus Christ. And so what this is meaning to us, it is this, spiritually in our lives. We, as men and women, we have to be careful of those who are men and women among us who bear the anointment of God sent to give out his word, and we should show them honor. What I'm saying is there are a cloud of witnesses. We have ministers and pastors, evangelists. We have those that call themselves apostles and prophets, and we have to ensure that we understand that there is a legacy that God has given us. And he has given us this through a cloud of witnesses to give us direction unto the end of time for salvation's sake. Okay, this is now the next instruction that we're going to be going to. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 35, verse 22. That is going to be the text we're going to draw this from. And what we're looking at again is the instruction, more trouble for Jacob. So we'll see that Jacob began his troubles with what his sons did to the Hivites in the land at the time when they were circumcised, and his sons went in and slew them. Now this here is more trouble for Jacob. And I'm doing this, my brothers and sisters, because I'm going chapter by chapter, and I'm taking out at least one instruction from each chapter. And this is what Genesis chapter 35, verse 22 says. It says, "And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and laid with Bella, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were these. Now this more trouble is when Reuben, his firstborn, laid with his father's concubine. Now what we're going to do is go to the complement and see how it compares and agrees. We're going to go to Luke chapter 22, and we're going to be reading from verse 54 through 62. And this is what it says. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was one with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what you sayest. And immediately, when he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And what we're seeing is that we as Christians are having more trouble, especially when the apostles in their time with Jesus being condemned as he was and Peter denying him. And what we want to compare this to, and as what the instruction means spiritually in our lives, is that as Christians, we will be faced with abuse and persecution, but we have to be careful about how we retaliate. You'll die for your faith if you must, but not to die for the world. There is a thin line between right and wrong. Great.
You will never succeed more than you fail. That's not how it works. You know why? Because failure is a wonderful teacher. It's the only way to learn. You have to fail. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player in the world, he took 946 game-winning shots. He has only made 146 of those. He has missed over 700 times, but he has made 146. You know what they write about? When you make it. They write about when you make it. So guess what? When you get to failing, all you got to do is make one. Matter of fact, when you fail, be glad about it. Every time you fail, you're one step closer. Every time you fail, say, whew, got that out the way. Go to the next one. Fail again? Okay, I got two out the way. What's going to happen is if you just keep swinging, you're going to get a hit.
Do not fear failure, but please be terrified of regret, as giving up is the birth of regret. You will receive 100 doors slammed in your face. You will have 100 moments that will be filled with someone telling you no. But what I ask of you today is to not take no for an answer. Don't be afraid of no's. Be afraid of the possibility of a yes that you have prematurely destroyed because you decided to quit before the clock strikes 12. I love a good no. Please tell me no. Telling me no is like adding fuel to a fire that is now set ablaze because of your single no. I love additional reasons to work harder. Please give me a reason.
You better go inside. You still looking outside for the stuff that's already inside. You still looking for someone to save you when you already your superhero. You looking for some information from somebody when you already got what you need in your head. It's just time for you to get up and be the best version of you. I challenge you to challenge yourself. I challenge you to stop thinking that where you are is enough. I challenge you to go beyond hurt. I challenge you to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I challenge you. And the problem with some of you in this room, you will never be great, because every time you go through pain, every time you go through a problem, every time you go through discouragement, you give up and you quit, and you do not understand that at the end of pain is your million. At the end of pain is your reward. At the end of pain is your productivity. At the end of pain is your promise. So do me a favor, stop crying about it and use your energy to get through it. That's what lions do. And if you are a true lion, it does not make a difference what the circumstances is. Lions don't cry. Lions don't give up. Lions don't quit. Lions hunt. We turn tragedy into triumph. That's what we do for a living.
Welcome back to the program, BIBLE, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Hallelujah, Pete. Welcome back.
Okay, here we go. We're on instruction number 43, and we're going to be using the text again, Genesis chapter 26, verse 34 and 35. And this is the instruction that we are going to use to glean from. Esau defies his father and his mother. That is the focus of this instruction, and the text reads as follows. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 34 and 35, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elam the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Esau and Rebekah. Now remember that Esau, or Isaac, sent his son Jacob to his family member for wife. And so what Esau did was defile that direction that he gave for his family, that they would take spouses from within the family and not outside of the family. And that's what Esau did, to defile his father and mother. Now what we're going to do is go to the compliment. We're going to go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and we're going to look at verses 19 through 21, and we're going to see what the compliment says concerning the same. John chapter 15, verse 19 through 21, and this is what it says. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So you can see in this New Testament compliment, it's saying that Jesus is telling us that the world in general is going to defy what he wants to be done. But we have to hold true and understand that there is going to be persecution. Now, the instruction means spiritually in our lives is that make sure you do not defy our God by becoming worldly. And how we know this, if we do not accumulate the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we have to realize that in the world, we're going to receive instructions that will be contrary to what God wants us to do. And if we start losing the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, that is telling us that we are not doing what God wants us to do. So that is the instruction from, that is the understanding and meaning from this instruction that we just went over. Now we're going to go to instruction number 44, going back to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at verse 5 through 10, Genesis chapter 37. We're going to be looking at verse 5 through 10. And this is the instruction, Joseph the patriarch. Now, a patriarch is the head of a family. So this is what the text tells us. Genesis 37, verse 5 through 10, it says about Joseph. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? So you can see that Joseph has become a patriarch, or the head of the family in this instance. And when we further study more of Genesis, we'll see why. Now what we want to do is see what the compliment says about this. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to be reading verse 33 through 41, Matthew chapter 21, and see what is said here in the New Testament that we can compare and make agreement with what we just read. We're going to be reading verses 33 through 41, and this is what Jesus said. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder when planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But at last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? So that is the compliment telling us that the patriarch is Jesus the Christ for us. And we, the people, are the world at large, has thrown him out of the vineyard, just like they threw Joseph into the pit. Now, what this means to us spiritually in our lives, this instruction, we have to beware lest we allow men to dissuade us against Jesus. And that's the key to this meaning. If you have any comments, please get them to the chat room or get them on the email so they can get to me and I can respond to them. All right, we're going to go now to instruction number 45. And the text of the instruction is Genesis chapter 38, verse 1 through 10. Genesis chapter 38, verse 1 through 10. And the instruction is the saga of Judah, son of Jacob. Now, the reason that it is so significant is because we know that out of Judah came Jesus the Christ. So this is giving us an understanding of how Judas lived his life. And when we come back from the
God said there's coming a day when I'm going to shake the world. But some things will not be shaken. Some things remain. In other words, there's coming a time when the world will be pressed and there'll be no way out. Those times come in your life, in your home. Tension, friction, financial trouble. You're pressed and there doesn't seem to be a way out. There is an answer. There is a way. Jesus said, I am the way. But in the midst of all this changing, there are some things that never change. Think of it a moment. What never changes? The nature of God doesn't change. God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed to adapt himself to our generation. God is unchanging. I am the Lord God, I change not. God is unchanging in his holiness. We're all guilty of coming short of God's holy requirements, and we're all sinners, and we're all in need of the grace and mercy of God. And that's why the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross. He died for your sins. He died for mine. And God took your sins and laid them on Christ. God changes not in his holiness. And let me tell you, because he is our holy God, he is also unchanging in his judgment. There is a judgment day coming. Our God is a consuming fire. The Bible is filled with stories of judgment. Our Lord talked more about hell than he did heaven. There is a day of judgment coming. God is a holy God, and you and I are going to stand there. And when I stand there, I'm not going to ask for justice. I'm going to ask for mercy. I need mercy. I need the grace of God. I need the forgiveness of God. And I want to tell you a wonderful thing. God loves you, and he offers you tonight forgiveness, and he offers you mercy. God can forgive every sin you've ever committed. God can wipe the slate clean because of Christ. Not because you deserve it. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. God is unchanging. He's unchanging in his love. God loves you. That's the most wonderful thing to go to bed with at night, to know that God loves me. God forgives me. God is interested in me. But I must receive him. Secondly, the word of God does not change. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I settled that a long time ago. There are a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand. There are questions you could ask me that I cannot answer. I don't know all the answers in this book. How can a finite mind like mine comprehend the infinite? I cannot. So one day I opened the Bible and I said, Oh Lord, I accept this as your word by faith. And that settled it from that moment on. When I quote the scriptures, I know that I'm quoting the word of God. It's a living word. And lastly, the way of salvation has not changed. All these centuries, the way to the kingdom of God is exactly the same. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He will never change. But you must change.
You can call and talk to our Bible teacher by calling 516-387-1627. Now back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Here is Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go. We're on instruction number 45, and we're going to be taking it from the text, Genesis chapter 38, verse 1 through 10, and this is the instruction that we're going to be looking at, the saga of Judah, son of Jacob. And this is what it says. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shelah, and he took her and went into her. Now remember, I told you about the legacy, or Jacob wanted all of his sons to come from or marry someone that was in the family or close to the family. Anyway, verse 3 says, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Er. And she conceived again and bare a second son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Sherezib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up a seed to thy brother. That was part of the law at the time. And verse 9 says, and Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass, when he went in unto his brother's wife, that he spilt it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, therefore the Lord slew him also. And this is the story that I wanted to relate. And what we want to know is that Judah did what was not according to the instructions or the lead of God. And so what happened in the end, those two sons of his were killed by God. Now let's go to our compliment and see where we can compare and agree to another story in the Bible that's similar, that takes into the account what happened with Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. We're going to go to Revelations. Turn your Bibles to Revelations chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Revelations chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And this is another saga, and this is the saga of Jesus Christ. Okay? And this is what Revelations chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 says. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, there is a connection. The root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals therefrom. So the continuation of this saga is that we know that out of Judah came Jesus Christ. And we can see what in the book of Revelations that only Jesus Christ can continue the legacy, if you will, or the work of God, and no one else can be substituted for him. Now, what we want to do is look at the instruction, what this means in our lives. And what it is telling us, that there are many examples of how God designates this life and how we're going to experience it. And we must learn how to rightfully divide the word of truth. That is the key to our salvation. So in the saga of our lives, there are going to be many episodes that we're going to not understand. But if we know that it is holding to what is in basic instructions before leaving earth, then we are following what is correct in God's eyes. Now, to keep in mind or to keep in alignment with our programming schedule, from time to time, we're going to be exercised in drills for our listeners, and this is one of those moments. And here is a Bible drill for tonight. What I want to share with you is three critical attributes of Christianity, meaning, well, the three critical attributes, write this down, please, meekness, humbleness, and lowliness of spirit. These are considered critical attributes in our walk in this Christian life. And the meaning of meekness, we can say, is being peaceful. And the meaning of humbleness, you can say submissive. And the meaning of lowliness of spirit you can identify as not being lofty. So what I want you to write down are these scriptures that will identify in the Old Testament and the New Testament the importance of these three attributes. Psalms 37, verse 11. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 34. Then the New Testament, Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew, chapter 23, verse 12. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 5. Philippians, chapter 2, verse 3. And Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 2. Now, what is important to note as what I'm getting ready to share with you are those elements or attributes I just identified as critical, and then we're going to talk about exercising them. In Psalms 37, verse 11, this is what it says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So peace is what we're going to get from this exercise if we engage in the meekness attribute. Now we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this is what it says. Well, what we're going to do is wait until after the break, and then we will complete the review of these. But we want to know that this is a drill that we are doing. And in this drill, we want to make sure that we are exercising meekness, humbleness, and lowliness of spirit.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on my knees. I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was. If you lose a job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wits' end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to love, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program. Here's our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, here we go. We're drilling on the three attributes of meekness, humbleness, and lowliness of spirit. And in the Old Testament, another identification or pointing to meekness is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And this is what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So that particular scripture is identifying humbleness. And the third one is Proverbs 3, verse 34, and it is speaking to lowliness of spirit. It says, surely he scorneth the scorners, but giveth grace to the lowly. And what I'm doing, my brothers and sisters, is getting scripture to substantiate the three critical attributes, and then we will get into how to exercise them. Now, we're going to go to the New Testament complement and see where it also identifies the same. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and work and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest and peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and ye shall find rest and peace unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So you can see Jesus even includes two of those attributes, meekness and lowliness of spirit, that if you will do these, you will receive his yoke, which is easy, and his burden, which is light. And in Matthew 23, verse 12, again, this is what it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So it's telling us that God does not love those who exalt themselves. He loves those who humble themselves. So this is a critical attribute to practice in Christianity. And we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, and this is what it says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So again, it's telling us that if you want grace, and we know that through grace ye are saved by faith and hope, Paul teaches us that if you want more grace, that you can't be proud because God resisted the proud and he gives more grace to the humble. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 continues. Paul is saying this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. So again, we're talking about lowliness of spirit, which is not being lofty. And that means if we are exercising or practicing strife and vainglory, we're going to lose out on this critical attribute that enhances our Christianity. And finally, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one with another. So again, we're talking about lowliness and meekness together. And remember, we identified meekness as being like peaceful, humbleness, like being submissive, and lowliness of spirit, like not being lofty. So these are the exercises that I'm sharing with you this evening, that just like when you want to gain muscle on your frame or you want to lose weight, you have to do certain things consistently to enhance that occurrence. So if we want to be successful in our Christianity, what we must do is we should be practicing. This is a drill. Meekness, humbleness, and lowliness of spirit. Okay. My very good brothers and sisters, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, it be established in the present truth. So that being said, here are some of the highlights of our program's description and format. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. The Bible includes the entire review of the 66 books of the canon, according to the Protestant authority. And there are many good versions. One, we're going to be stressing the spirituality aspect of the Bible rather than the physical, because Jesus said it best, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Number two, we're going to be doing drills and exercises associated with standing on the promises of God in Jesus Christ, for I think that this is very important for us to do as Christians this side of eternity, to not only enhance our Christian walk in this life, but also to avoid the things that beset us, meaning the world and its activities. Number three, using both the Old Testament and the New Testament to complement, to compare with, and to substantiate each other with the other. And they both are complementary. And that's the reason that I try to get texts from both in the lesson. And the use of scripture to validate opinions. And most of what I say, hopefully all of what I say, is substantiated by the scripture that I use in validating it. And of course, our mission statement is this is for everybody. Now, that is the reason that the statement identifies it simply. We are not just using this for Christianity. We're using this for everyone that is a part of our world in general. So with that, now what we're going to do is take a quick review of what we went through before we close for tonight. Tonight, we went through at least six of the instructions. And the first one was Jacob's troubles. And we understood from Jacob's troubles, and we know that Jacob's family is still having troubles, that there were things that the Bible pointed out that we need to avoid in our practice of Christianity. We looked at instruction number 41, the third legacy given to Jacob. And of course, there were many legacies given to Jacob. As we continue on our study throughout the Bible, we'll find that out. And then we were looking at more trouble for Jacob. We looked at Esau defies his father and mother. And we looked at Joseph the patriarch. And we looked at the saga of Judah, son of Jacob. And with all of these, we did concentrate on Jacob more or less exclusively for this evening's study. And hopefully you got the meanings from what the instructions gave. And quickly, those meanings were as follows, that we took into account that worldliness is something we need to avoid, that we need to make sure that the men and women that are God anointed are responded to, and that we will as Christians face abuse and persecution, but through BIBLE we should be able to overcome that. And that we know that the world will defile us. We thank you for listening in this evening, and we're ready to conclude.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Don't forget to do those drill exercises, meekness, humbleness, and lowliness of spirit.